are we set on a predetermined path in life? Is there some kind of destiny quietly guiding us towards what's next? This has been a theme in many of the books I've been reading lately, and it's something I've been reflecting on in my own life. Right now, I feel more clear-headed than I've ever been. It feels like Myard Israel is finally moving in a direction that truly matters, like I've finally uncovered what I'm meant to do with this platform. For many years, I struggled to find my footing in the art world, and everything felt so uncertain. Just 2 years ago, I was more lost than ever, unsure if my plans were all going to fall apart, and I was questioning whether I was making all the wrong decisions. But I followed my heart, and especially my gut, and set out to create this show. Now looking back, it feels like one of the best decisions I ever made. Join me as today's guest takes us into the shadowy streets of Madrid to uncover the vibrant and daring world of graffiti. I'm your host, Jacob Johnson. This is the Myard Israel Podcast, a narrative journey into the lives that shape art. Today's episode, Jay Case. Right after the break. This episode would not be possible without you, the listener. If you enjoy this show, share it with everyone you know and leave a review wherever you listen to the podcast. If you would like to take your support a step further, head on over to MyardIsrael.com and collect one of our limited edition art prints. By collecting a print, you're not only getting a limited edition beautiful print, but you're also supporting me and supporting the artist directly. Thank you so much for listening. And back to the episode.
Okay, so my name is Jay Case. The version of my mother's name, family name, through my travels, and my artist name. My original name is Jaime de la Torre. And I live in London, actually, but I'm from Spain, and I'm an artist.
And where in Spain are you from?
I was born in a small town, but I didn't live there much. Originally, I will say I'm from where my family is and where most of my life I spend it is in Santander. But I also have a part of me, which is my teenage years that were in Madrid.
Growing up, Jay's early childhood was fairly typical. Going to school, playing outside, just the usual kid stuff. Then everything changed for Jay's family.
In my family, my parents separated, and that was a big change in my life. And also, we went, like, economically, we went down a lot, and I was in a situation, I was a kid, I was not aware, but my mother had to take care of me in her own, and she had to work in several jobs.
After the separation, Jay and his mother moved to Madrid, and that's where he spent the rest of his teenage years. Life was tough for them. To keep everything afloat, Jay's mother had to take on several jobs, which meant she was always away from home a lot.
I realized over the years how hard that was, because it was moments that I didn't live with either of my parents. I just waited to see my mother for like half an hour in between one of her three jobs, and then come back to school and then keep going. But then is when the drawing became, like, I have a lot of time to myself as a kid, so, and I spend that time drawing. So it was like my safe world.
Drawing is something most of us do as kids. At least kids used to, when I was a kid. Before iPads and all these computers, just a pad of paper and a pen were all you needed to create your own world. Jay took to drawing very quickly, and it became more than just a way to pass the time. Did you have any siblings to spend time with as well, or were you an only child?
Yes, I have a brother, and but my brother was about to become an adult, no?
Although Jay's brother was much older than him, Jay would find other ways to occupy his time. He was drawing and playing out in the streets, two interests that would eventually merge in a big way.
Like, my aunties take care of me, you know, and they give me a lot of freedom, we will say. So I was like, when all the kids go to school, I will stay be in the school till they close the school. And I will play with the different generations. So when my generation go out, I play with the next generation and the next generation. And then I get used to be in the street a lot. And then is when the drawing started to be more like graffiti. I started to tag my name.
The person probably most responsible for introducing Jay to graffiti and the street art world was his brother.
I always say that the cause of it was my brother. When we were small, my brother enjoyed a better financial situation, and he went to Los Angeles and stayed like for a summer in Los Angeles, and then he came back with mixtapes with hip hop, no, with rap music, and magazines with skateboarding and graffiti. I would like the clothes, the cap. When you remember where everyone go with the cap backwards. So in Spain, it wasn't like that. But my brother arrived from US with the cap backwards. And I kind of, it was like my older brother. So I kind of imitate all that, you know. And I have pictures of me dressed like a rapper, like a very young age. Because it was like, I don't know, something that my brother did, and that was where I get the attraction to it. I just keep like the aesthetic of the hip hop, no, of the like the tags from graffiti and all this in my head.
When your brother showed up back at home with all of these, you know, magazines and all this new culture, what did you think of it?
It felt cool, you know, like a new toy, you know what I mean? Like it's more for me, you know what I mean? I don't know, because maybe the surroundings or the other things that I have, it was more like typical, and I wasn't that impressed. And it was kind of a hit of dopamine, because it was like, oh, wow, this is way different, you know? And then I get attracted to it, and also... I went to school and no one knew about it. So that keep me, like, that was like, oh, so then it's like my thing, you know what I mean? So I start, anytime I see graffiti, I look at it. Anytime I listen to hip hop, I go there. That was it.
From the things that he had brought back, your brother, what was it that led to the discovery of graffiti?
So the graffiti part was... in a magazine that I didn't manage to recover. It was like a skate magazine he brought. And he have like some pictures of the Los Angeles canal. They have some tags in it and some pieces. Very weird and crazy. But at that time in Spain, they put like Baywatch, the TV series. And as a kid in Baywatch, when they go to Venice Beach, you see graffiti. So in Spain at that time, even if... there was a culture for a kid. The only thing was the television to get, like, maybe in a program, in an American program, like Bel Air Primes. And then you see the aesthetic of graffiti. And then there's a Style Wars, and there is other, like, more like things directed to that, or Subway Art, the book. But not in my family, my culture. No one actually knew about that.
Creating graffiti seemed to come naturally to Jay, like it was something he was always meant to do.
The drawing part, it was always there since a kid. I will draw in a paper over and over on top of my own drawings, different layers. So 2-3 drawings on top. It's a very weird thing that I did. After that, the tagging was more when I moved to Madrid. Because I moved with 12 years. At that age is like a moment where I was spending a lot of time in the street in the small town. But when I go to the big town, my mother was more concerned about my time in the street than, you know. So then the people in Madrid have a bit more culture about hip hop or urban culture. And I make friends quickly, and we encourage each other to take some cans and go to the track sites and start painting graffiti. So then is where the graffiti came, and I discovered the rush of it and the adrenaline of painting, but most important, the joy of creating a painting.
Your tag, your street art name, how did you come up with that?
I have different names, and at that time also my grandfather died, and it was something that as a kid was an important thing for me. My grandfather was very nice during the whole situation of my family, and kind of the figure that keep the family together. And then he died the 3 of December. And I decided, I have previous tags, but at this point I decided to have the tag tres in Spanish. But then from previous tags, I liked the character of being like a rebel. So I keep the K, because in the Spanish alphabet, K is a very unusual letter that is used to like kind of a rebel words, kind of an icon of rebellion. So it was like K3, and that was the tag.
As we grow up, we're always trying out new hobbies and exploring different interests, figuring out what really speaks to us. And once we find something that truly resonates, it's hard to let it go. For Jay, creating art, especially street art, was that thing. He loved everything about it, not just the images he could create, but the entire process. The thrill of being out in the streets, spray paint can in hand, immersed in the moment. But when you're out there painting, it's always smart to have someone watching your back.
At the beginning, it was me, myself, with my friend. But my friend have come from a very traditional family in Spain. From his father working in the land. When he come back home, when I come back to my home, my mother was a bit more cool and don't notice, don't tell me much. But his father noticed and punished him hard. And then my friend stopped. Wanted to do graffiti while I wanted to keep. So I did it in my own for a while, and then I get like promoted to the neighborhood's crew, the old guy's crew. And that is when I live the authentic crew experience, you know, where we have like some guys that do breakdance and other guys that are DJ. We make music. I started freestyling as well, doing some of the early Spanish talking hip hop from rap from my country. It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Okay, now Jay's in a street art crew. Now he's in the big leagues. Oh man, so how old were you when you got promoted to the crew?
When I get promoted to the crew, I say promoted because it was a very nice feeling for me. And I think it was in my 15 or something.
That's really young. That's really young.
Yeah, it was very young, very young. And then it started a bit. My mother, for example, didn't took very well the hip-hop kind of vibe, because she started looking that I smoke spliffs and then I paint graffiti in the streets, no, with no permission. And they catch me when I was like 14 or something. The police catch me. They call my mom, and I can hear my mom screaming in the phone. The police just told me, go home, go home. You know, it was like, so she was worried, very worried for me. And it was a culture that she didn't knew. Now she's my fan number one. But before, it was too much for her, you know. She was had too much in her plate, had to work a lot to raise me. And she didn't understood the hip-hop culture. She only saw the dangerous side of being a graffiti writer.
Like most parents, I imagine Jay's mom was really concerned about his future. I mean, if anyone's kid is out late at night smoking and doing graffiti, it's natural to worry about their safety. And while Jay was keeping his grades up, eventually the whole situation became just too much for his mom to handle.
At some point, all this get out of hand to my mother, because I started smoking more, and not having that much of a good grade as I used to. So she started worrying a lot about it. And it comes like a moment of ultimatum where she just couldn't do it and say, you stop with the graffiti life or go out of the house.
Stop graffiti? Yeah, there's no way that was going to happen.
Yeah, then it was like having 18 and being already an adult in Spain and just move out of my house. It was just too dramatic, the situation of her being worried all the time. And it was not real. It was like she was working that hard that didn't have the time to actually understand this new art that was happening, and that I was an artist that I was already involved in creation constantly. We part ways for a couple of years or something. Then I moved back to the little town.
Like so many of us, people often struggle to understand what's new or different from their own way of thinking. For Jay, graffiti wasn't just a hobby. It was his life. It was all he wanted to do, and he was determined to turn his passion for art into his future. I can relate to that a lot. I was obsessed with art, too, but I was lucky that my parents believed in me. For some reason, I still don't fully understand. My dad used to tell me all the time, as long as you're trying and working hard to make your dreams come true, you'll have a place to stay and food to eat. Looking back, I don't think I realized how incredible that was at the time. To have parents that fully support you chasing your dream, no matter how crazy it might seem, is such a rare gift. But not everyone has that kind of support. Most of my extended family, for example, constantly pressured me to go to college to get a real career. It wasn't that Jay's mom didn't believe in him. She did. But she was just worried about his future. And at the time, she just couldn't see how graffiti would lead anywhere positive.
But she didn't believe it. She didn't believe it because she just see me escaping. I used to escape to do bombing during the night, you know. And then for her was like, oh, it's not Spanish culture, you know. It's not what she did when she was young. So suddenly my friends will appear in a van and pick me up and in a Wednesday night with the hip hop and smoking, and then we left and she will go work the next day. It was all like, for her, it was too much. Like I spoke with him now, with her, now we laugh about the stuff because she was just pissed, you know, because it was like, fuck, nothing is going where it's supposed to go, you know. I have a lot of respect for my mom and how she took care of me. And I just wanted to, you know, like to have a career and have a future. And I really thought that was the best way for me.
So when you left home, where did you stay?
The first thing was go crash at friends and try to make it, try to, you know, freestyle it from there. Shortly, it became like a complication in my whole idea because I wanted to study art in university. And she wasn't very happy with that as well. So then what I did is kind of move to the north where my aunties can give me like a place to stay. And I will be able to study art in the next city. It was like in Bilbao, which is another city, the next city into the story. Then I say, okay, so that's the only option in where I get to study art.
Jay set his sights on improving his art and pushing his skills to their fullest potential. In his search, he found a flyer that promised just that, a path to becoming the artist he knew he could be.
I decided to study in art because I wanted to develop my creativity. I read in the university pamphlet that what they do is to take your creativity. We will train your creativity to the maximum. So I say, fuck it. I want this one. This is what I want to do. But then when I started doing it, it was kind of very kind of romantic, no? It's Spain, it's kind of a tradition, it's traditional fine art, like drawing anatomy, and light. And
this style of art was completely new territory for Jay. His canvases had always been the walls on the street.
And then I was like painting in the street and a bit more wild because it was like painting trains. I was very deep into the graffiti scene at this point because I didn't live that. But what made me realize that the value of art beyond graffiti, no, in general, it was the necessity of taking out something from it, from all my experience. So I was still doing this graffiti life, but I was valuing it as an art. And when I was in uni, it was impossible to apply it to the fine art world. It was like it became a challenge. Like the next challenge was to represent where I live in a street in a public setup into the studio, into the fine art world.
Trying to bring a street art, you know, graffiti style into a studio, especially back then, can be incredibly challenging. Looking at Jay's works now, it's very clear he found his way through that struggle, but that didn't mean it was easy.
It was a challenge with, for example, in paint. In uni, when I was painting, this might sound crazy for you, but think that this is Spain, is the traditional fine art school, and then a guy brings like a spray paint and a Posca or a marker. And today, that's like normal. But when I was doing it, it wasn't normal. It was like, what are you doing? This is for kids. You cannot do art with this. With the paint teachers, it was harder because of the techniques I was using. They were like, no, spray paint, you cannot paint here. And with markers, only kids paint with markers. You cannot do things with markers that are art. And I was like, oh, fuck. So then I need to learn traditional means like oleum or acrylics. That now I'm grateful for that. But at the moment was a pain in the ass. It was like, fuck, this is not what I want. But then I discovered that in other disciplines, like performance, video, or photography, they will let me do it. Because I specialized in my career at the end as a video artist. And I started taking pictures and making videos of the life of an artist, the life of a graffiti art. So the art wasn't the graffiti, was the experience of it, what the graffiti artist is doing, no, and how the people react. It was like a kind of, it was very sociological / art kind of work, no?
Jay was incredibly smart to recognize that what made graffiti so special was the public aspect. The reaction from people, the adventures of it all. Using film to capture and showcase that was brilliant. Honestly, if it weren't for films like Exit Through the Gift Shop that introduced me, a small town kid, to the world of street art, I doubt I would have ever been able to even start this show. Do you still have footage and all the projects and stuff from that time?
I have all the studies from uni, all the things I do. You know, the moment there was some time in 2000s that the light graffiti came out, that a bunch of artists start doing graffiti with lights in the night, like pictures that were like drawing graffitis with a light. So I was doing that, and then I painted. This is where I started. If you see my art, always have like errors or distortions. So all that come from video and photography from that times. I was working a lot with the error, with the distortion, because of this concept of the graffiti artist being like the error in art, no? Like, is is the guy that paint graffiti? No, that's not art because it's vandalism, you know? So I was playing always with the distortion and the error in the era. And now all this story is in my paintings nowadays.
Okay. So you made your way through school. What's the plan now? What's the plan headed forward?
The plan was go New York. You know, plan was like rocket, you know, go New York, discover the real deal and all that. But the my rights, no, didn't allow me to. I mean, I need to apply for a visa, do this, do that. And I wasn't in the best financial situation. But I have a family in England and a contact with England. England is kind of the smaller version of the States in Europe. It was all green lights to go there. It was the no Brexit. It was part of Europe. So I could go work and it was perfectly possible. And they speak English, basically, you know. So then I will get to understand the books and all the culture from US. And the hip hop, you know, everything. Because I didn't understand much of the music, or maybe I have a graffiti book, but I don't understand much of the language, you know. So I needed needed for me for develop my career to control English, to be bilingual, you know. So England was the best situation.
And in landing in London. How was that? How was London? How was England?
When I went there or here, it was like, it wasn't easy. English, we trained in Spain in a state school, no? It's not like, not the one that will you will be able to communicate perfectly. So I arrived to the town with all the money I did from my commission and my painting caps. And this, oh yeah, I want to do this. I saw the possibilities of London and it was amazing, man. You can study art, but in depth, you know, the many different schools, many different things. It was like a maze. But when I went there, I couldn't afford nothing. It was crazy. In the second month, I almost lost all my money and I get jobs. It was like crazy, like the second week or something, BBC gave me a job for doing backdrops for one of their TV series. It was like, I saw a lot of potential, but at the same time, I needed to learn the language for real.
While he was doing some murals, painting and selling his pieces here and there, it wasn't enough. He needed a steady job to get those bills paid.
Separate a bit my need for art and doing art and live from art and all around art. And I need a more practical situation where I get money and learn English. So I spoke with an artist here, an old artist in England. And he recommended me to go to the center of London, where the most crazy part of the city is, full of people, and get a job there in anything, and it will be the best way to learn English quick, to adapt to the culture, learn the language, and also make the contacts to develop my career.
So, got a job as a bartender.
So it's what I did, and I end up being a cocktail bartender in a salsa club for a year and a half in London. I have a lot of fun there. And I'm very grateful to the Latin community in UK that through parties, through serving them with the cocktails and everything, they start giving me opportunities for painting, because I will sell you the cocktail and a painting. You know, I will be like always focused with my art, no?
His English was improving, he was meeting interesting people, and he was making sales. But eventually he knew he had to dive into the deep end and fully commit to his art.
It was a hard moment because I have it's a very comfortable situation because it's a fun job, but I needed the art. And it was this moment that they wanted to promote me to a serious position, and I needed to wrap my head about if I'm going to continue with what I did all my life, or if I'm going to get just a job and do that in the weekends. I didn't take any... the position or nothing, I just went say okay, thank you very much for the opportunity, for learning, for all that I have enjoyed here. But now I'm gonna go to for what I want, like live from making my art, no? Because I do my art anyway. If I work for someone else, then I will work, and when I arrive home, I will be painting all night. So I barely sleep, you know. So it's healthy for me to just dedicate to something that is related to painting, because it's what I like to do with my life. I managed, you know, I jumped to the pool. I say, okay, so I'm gonna do it.
It was a rough start, but soon things picked up, and he was paying his bills through painting.
At the beginning, it was a bit more difficult, but soon I start getting some help from Red Gallery or London West Bank Gallery, and they both give me spaces to work and let me exhibit and give me some jobs as well.
By this time, Jay had transitioned to painting more on canvas and was starting to exhibit these works in galleries. How did it feel for you once you finally were able to adapt your style to canvas? How did that feel for you when that finally happened?
It felt very good to know that I'm happy with painting in a canvas. Not that I have a feeling similar to when I was painting in the street for all that long time. So I have I believe in it. You keep getting better and better, this feeling, no? Because I can see myself doing more things and representing a bit more of myself and learning about myself more. It's more personal, I think, painting than in the studio or a painting that at the street in public.
Success doesn't happen overnight. Jay had been hard at work for years, first honing his craft on the streets, then pushing his creativity to new heights in school, and finally mastering and transitioning to studio work. But it was time to start getting shows. What was the first exhibition that you ever landed?
There's different stages of exhibition. Because my first exhibition was in Spain when I did my photography. I have the final project of the year with one picture, and I went to frame it because I wanted to present it very nice in class, no, like get a good grade. And when I went frame it, the framer ended up having a gallery and saw what I was doing and say, oh, can you do a show with this? And then that was actually the first show I did was with photography. So I did it a long time ago, and I was like with all artists, like in their 50s or something, and I was like in my 20s. It was a bit different, you know, but that was the first time.
And then there came this moment where he was finally able to show his paintings.
And then the first time I did a show for paintings, it was during COVID. I enjoyed a lot the process of painting, but I couldn't actually be physically in the show because it was in another country. It was in Switzerland.
Looking back, do you remember that first moment you sold your first piece and how that felt?
I sold one of the pictures. That was the first time. That feel amazing. And it's still with me that feeling kind of achieving some support, no? Like finally it gets some recognition. And then it's kind of make a sustainable way. Because before, remember that I was painting, but I was painting commission work, more like people was telling me what, and this was totally from my mind. Like, so it was like a deep exploration inside my life and what I was living. And to someone to value that, it was very important for me.
By this point in his journey, the mural projects and studio work had become deeply interconnected, each one influencing the other.
Now it's all about the big piece or the big project. So it's all kind of interconnected into a story. I work in murals. I still do murals, but I do less. And I work more in the story and what is behind it. And also the studies of the mural, that is the studio work. So I will draw different versions. I will maybe do a painting. And then from that, I will take it to a mural or the other way around. I will do the mural and then take what I painted in the street and put it in the studio and work around it. But definitely way more time in the studio than before.
Being a self-employed artist is no easy feat. Balancing all the tasks outside of, you know, making the art can be pretty overwhelming, especially for someone like Jay, who's constantly working on big murals and ambitious projects. Fortunately, he found a partner to help him. Together, they've become an unstoppable team.
Basically, 7 years ago, I kind of find love, and I have my girlfriend, Lucia. She's very supportive. She's a very supportive person. And she rapidly saw my life and how I was doing, and she was always supporting and being there. And I will go painting, and she will want to go help me just by being there. I started telling her, oh, you can paint. And then she started also telling me, I'm going to paint. And then it kind of grew in her this need for painting as well.
And she found out that she loved to paint as well. And soon they started working on pieces together.
Kind of become natural that she started collaborating with me in the projects. Nowadays, she's in charge of documenting everything that I do, and also in creative production, she helped me a lot organizing all the productions and filling all the paintings, or maybe there is a projection and we need to divide the parts of the mural or the work with other artists, and she's always there helping. It's kind of I'm sharing my life with her, so we both working in, it's like become like a common project to have a life together.
How does it feel to have a partner like that? So when you not only share a life with, but also collaborate with creatively to make these incredible works?
It's kind of, it's very special. I never thought I would have it. I was always doing it in my own. And then to live and see that it grow in other person to help and to do it with you is very, very special, man. And I feel a very serious thing for me, no? Because when I paint, I think in not only in me, I think in having someone else taking part in the painting as well. So it's beautiful to share this with someone that you love. All this journey was also about my freedom and about to have a life that kind of design my own life, create my own reality, and having a reality that was healthy. And this is actually our main goal. Is just to attract a positive life and a healthy life, and be realistic as well. So create enough to survive, you know, and to grow, because we humans, we all want to grow.
Every one of us has a dream, but the path to that dream is never clear and it's never easy. Jay always loved to draw. But would he be making the art he creates today if his brother hadn't have gone to LA and brought back all of those new cultural influences? If his mom hadn't have kicked him out of the house and he hadn't returned to his hometown, would he have ended up on a completely different path? So many moments shaped Jay's journey, and none of them could have been predicted. The only constant was his dream and his determination to grow. And that's something he will continue to do. Hope everyone had a fantastic holiday. We're now in 2025, and I have to say I've never been more excited to see what Mired Israel will become. Thank you all for tuning in for Jay's story. If you enjoyed it, as always, share it with a friend, and do me a favor, leave a review for the show wherever you listen. If you would like to support the show even further, you can head on over to MyArtIsRael.com and collect limited edition art prints. We got plenty available from different artists, and we're releasing so many more this year. We also have some original artworks up on the website at the moment, and we're getting some new original artworks in a couple months. So keep an eye out for those as well. Thank you, and I will see you in the next episode.